Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Varmt välkomna till dagens avsnitt av Ecotime Podcast. Idag sitter jag och Albin med en gäst på en bar som heter Cocktail Social i Stockholm. Och vi hälsar warm welcome to Nils Eggerding from Fredrik Constant.
Thank you very much.
So how come we are meeting with you here today in Stockholm?
I was discussing with Dan, who is the sales director, that the last time I was here is 7 years ago.
7 years ago.
Yeah. And we are here now because we are reconstructing the Swedish market. And it has always been one of my favorite markets because Dutch, Nordics, we are quite aligned, I think. But the Swedish are still more modern in terms of fashion than the Dutch. So I was always attracted to it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, market, it's a bit of a complicated market. High income, average, trend very often to the more luxury timepieces. Brands like Omega, IWC always sold well here, Rolex. And I think it's time now where we are with the brand to penetrate the market with a strong partner. So I'm very happy to be here today to launch this collaboration.
Yeah, we are happy to have you.
It's
as
a long
well.
Introduction, but
yeah, but it was good because you already took the second question on the
good
on the question formula into account.
Great. It was 7 years since you were here last.
Last time. It was 7 years ago.
How long have you been managing director for Fredrik Constant?
I'm like 6 years leading the company. 6 years, and I work with terms of 3 years always. So I make plans. Long term, and in 3 years, I present the plans to my company internal to engage with the people, but also towards Tokyo, the shareholding company. So I'm sitting in my second term, 6th year.
And the plan for Sweden, does that go for the rest of the Scandinavian countries as well, like Norway and Finland, Denmark?
You know, it's difficult to say for me if it's really going to be applied everywhere because it's not that easy everywhere in the Nordics. We know that it's a bit of a scattered watch market, and today the Norwegian and the Danish market are equal. Sweden, we hardly exist because we really need to reconstruct it. But it should be the leading market for me the Nordics. So we apply like the same strategy everywhere, yes.
So are you looking into more retailers and points of sales in Sweden then?
Yeah, I think the best marketing tool is still the retailer. And I think after so many years, after COVID, online, web stores, it finally calms down and the retailer starts to be the central point of the watch industry again. But I think it's good because they deserve it.
Tell us about yourself a bit. How did you get into watches? How did all this start?
Almost 20. Yeah, makes me feel old. So almost 25 years ago. So I started to work, funny enough, I started to work for a distributor in Holland. I was an intern, 22 years, and I get by coincidence an internship by a watch distributor. And interesting enough, they were selling watches, Camel Trophy watches in that time. Well, I think the younger generation doesn't know what it is, but
they were very popular. We know that.
They were super popular. And then you had Bali watches, we had Zenith watches in that time, and Frédéric Constant. Super interesting. It was the early days of Frédéric Constant. Then after a few years, I was attracted by Swatch Group. Did several jobs within Swatch Group there for 11 years. And then I met Peter and Aletta Stas, and we had directly a connection. they were spying in Longines at Basel, and I walked down for Longines and I said, hey, don't spy in Dutch. And they were shocked. And it was a match on first sight. And I was very intrigued about his vision and passion. So I made a move. I decided with my wife and kid to move from Holland to Geneva. What was a cultural shock, I have to say.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah.
So for the listeners that don't know the brand so well, can you please give us a short summarization of the brand, what it is, what it stands for?
Yeah. So within one sentence, we could recap it in, and then I will explain a bit more, but we are the young watch, innovative watch manufacturer from Geneva. That covers actually exactly what we are doing. We're making money for two watches. We are young. We only exist 35 years, but we have done more than 30 in-house movements. And we are leading the spirit to innovate. That happens in every element. So it happens in collaborations we are doing. It happens in the money for two caliber. We do in monolithic. We have done a smartwatch. So you can see the innovative spirit is strongly embodied in the company. But of course, it's from the long time. It's a brand that has defined the accessible luxury segment 35 years ago, and it really creates a valuable product for a fair price. That has been basically the mission, to let more people enjoy a luxury watch. In one word. No, today it's a whole different ballgame, but I think we will come back to that later.
I saw the term somewhere in some interview with you, maybe a couple of years ago. It was mentioned affordable luxury.
Yeah.
Is that like...
Yeah, I think the...
Still relevant.
No, I think it's still there, but I think with the mission, let more people enjoy luxury, the accessible luxury segment, it has been redefined for me. We have been building it for 30 years, but now I think we need to move on. And for me, luxury is, what does luxury mean? Mm. Accessible luxury is anyhow different in perception for everybody. If you go 10 years back, it was very simple. You had a watch, you had a luxury timepiece, people bought it or not. Today, there's so many offers. But also, my son is 18 years old. He's buying a Citizen watch for 500 euro. For him, that's a lot of money.
Mm.
That's actually for him a luxury timepiece. Mm. So I would let go a bit of more the accessible luxury, but I would still appreciate that we talk about, hey, we make a fair, valuable product for a fair price that people can have access to. But luxury is all about desirability and brand and quality and scarcity. That's what it is all about for me.
Fredrik Constant being such a young brand in the watch world, like what are the challenges connected to that? And are there any advantages to being young?
Yeah, the advantages are less, I have to say. I mean, the fight we have with the giants that exist 180, 175, 200 years, it's very intense, especially if you think about it that we have like 30, more than 35 luxury brands that are performing very well in Switzerland.
Mm.
I think the benefit is that we are still considered as a bit of a rebel brand, where I think you can do more, you can try things more. We launch a product innovative product. We do it quicker than the known brands would do. They will take 10 years, 20 years about it. Rolex, when they do an innovation, they do small steps.
Mm.
So that gives a bit of a benefit. It's much more the innovative and entrepreneurial spirit that we have, I would say.
Do you disclose how many watches you produce each year?
No. We are not. Since we have been acquired by Citizen, and they are stock listed, public listed in Japan, I've been heavily whipped that I can no longer say numbers, because I'm very transparent, and for me it's very easy. But no,
it's always one of those the standard questions people ask.
So I think what's interesting for you is that what I can say, because it's public, that we have been launching it. Before COVID, we were still between 150,000, 160,000 pieces. And then we had COVID. very difficult for me also personally. We had to cut things, we had to cut budgets, people. It was a hard time for everyone. Then we came out in 22 and we regrew the business by focusing on our manufacture collection with 27%, and it was over the result of 2019.
All right,
so we have been decreasing the quantities but increasing the average price. So that gives you a bit of an insight.
Yeah. So if we look at the journey of these 35 years the brand has been in existence, what are the key happenings, so to say, and milestones that you have achieved with the brand during these years in terms of innovation, in terms of, you know, products and stuff?
I think the milestones for us is really more focused on the manufacture. If you look at the brand, I think the brand used to be more scattered in terms of collection. We did smartwatch, quartz, ladies' gent, manufacture. We had jewels within the brand. It was very wide and it was not focused for me. So that's the first thing I did 6 years ago to really bring it back into simplicity. So now if you look at the brand, it has manufacture as a pillar. It has the high life, what is the sport chic integrated bracelet design. And then you have the classics, what's 60% of our business. That's how the brand is really structured. If you look at the milestones, it's really focused on the storytelling, and that's the manufacture. We have done, we started with back in 2004, the first hand winding manufacture caliber. Then after, and I make a jump, 2008 Tourbillon, 2012 World Timer, 2012 also the 705, 710. Then we had 2016 Perpetual Calendar, 17 Fly by Chrono. And that's really the milestones for us. But brand-wise, I would also say it's distribution. We have been going to 3,000 point of sales worldwide. What is an achievement? We became no longer a small brand below our radar. That 12 years ago, when I arrived, Maurice Lacroix was bigger, Raymond Well was bigger, Bon Marché was bigger. And we are all now overachieved them. We are bigger than them. What for me is a milestone personally. Yeah. And now for me, we have been working hard to streamline the collection. The high life was for me mandatory to bring in the collection. New audience for me. In the coming 3 years, it's really for me focusing on the desirability, the luxury angle, and to elevate the brand to a level, not necessarily higher in terms of price, but in desirability, in brand awareness, because that's what's still missing a bit.
Yeah, but I must say, last couple of years, I've seen some of the new, more high-end pieces in the metal, like in Dubai a couple of months ago.
You were there?
Yep. With Marie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. Yep. Of course. Now I recognize you.
Yeah, we were
sorry,
party.
I'm saying this on the podcast.
It's okay. We were also during Geneva Watch Days, when you introduced for us the... one of the watches we have in front of us right now, the one with the big date, the moon face.
That was at the Geneva Watch Days with the Avenir.
Correct. Yeah, sure. Also, we saw the Tourbillon in platinum with the meteorite dial and stuff. So you're obviously releasing very interesting watches, which is nice, and that you're, you know, pushing, I mean, 31 calibers.
Yeah, 31 in-house calibers. That's the number that we drop.
Yeah.
But I think it's fair enough to explain that it's built from three conceptions. Because production, operation-wise, I would get nervous if we think about 31 in-house movements.
Yeah.
But it's all focused on three main conceptions. The 700 series, what is basically the most industrialized manufacture caliber we have. Then you have the 800, the monolithic, very exclusive. And then the 900 is the open heart and tourbillon.
I picked up on something. You said that, have you made a tourbillon with a meteorite dial?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes.
I haven't seen it. I got excited when you said that.
Yeah, that watch is... so that's one of the things that we have been dropping now, what I think is needed, because it fits still in the brand. It's high-end, but it's still in a fair price if you compare it in the industry. But it's typically the pieces that creates desirability for me.
Yeah, it creates the buzz. Yeah. I mean, of course... I mean, for us journalists that handle many watches, of course, we do really appreciate, for example, the big date Moonface. But then when somebody whips out the tourbillon in platinum with the meteorite dial, then you know,
it stands out. It's a different ballgame.
It's a different ballgame. But also the perpetual calendar from the High Life collection in rose gold was also a very, very nice piece.
The Tourbillon perpetual calendar.
Tourbillon, yes, sorry. Yeah. I forgot one complication. It's complicated.
but because that was a Dubai lounge. Yeah, true. Yeah.
But that's really interesting. But because if most people think that we have a couple of watches here on the table, which is like the main collection, I guess.
Yeah, it's spot on this one, yeah.
But
we had help to choose.
Yeah.
When a brand shows its muscles, like this is the main collection, but this is what we can do, and we do it all the time, but we do it in limited numbers, such as Tourbillons and the monolithic movement that you were working with earlier, and that kind of stuff. That makes all the entry-level stuff for the main stuff more attractive, like, because it's the whole brand thing. Because everything connects, of course.
Yeah. Exactly. No, well, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Actually, is that because the manufacturer is talking pieces. That's why we are launching extreme high-end talking pieces in limited editions that people really, really are lined up to purchase. That I was not expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But with the aim, finally, to sell more volume. Because if I don't have the volume, I cannot also continue to innovate. Because this is funding my innovation in the manufacturer. But it's important. And it funds also for me to keep the price in the manufacturer line very competitive. Without that, I cannot do the other. So it's really a complete mix and balance. Yeah.
Speaking of the different models and model lines in front of us, we have to ask you, of course, personal favorite model is maybe the one on the wrist, or is it something else?
Yeah, this is the one on my wrist is by far my favorite, because this is, of course, the collection that I've really done myself with my team. And I remember that was the first thing, the High Life, where Peter, when I took over, I said to Peter, now I'm going to take over. I'm going to do a new line. He said, what are you going to do then? I said, I want to do the High Life. The High Life was an old collection.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Peter, you know, I've been traveling the world. I've been selling everywhere watches. And what I see and what the facts show back in 2018, over 3,000 euro luxury timepieces, stainless steel, was 80% integrated bracelet. Rolex, AP, Vacheron Overseas, Nautilus, Patek, Richard Mille. Mm. So all those timepieces were dictating the luxury. We knew, it's not rocket science, the brands already, but in specific and integrated bracelet. For me, there was no brand who was doing it really nice in our price range. And that's where I really wanted to have that in place. So here you can see on my wrist, this is the gold, rose gold perpetual calendar.
Mm.
It's a limited edition, 30 pieces. I have the number 14 because Cruyff 14. I have a weakness for Cruyff. My father has the same age. Mm. And it's, of course, one of the famous Dutch football players that my family lived close by in Amsterdam.
Ah, okay. So
that's something special there.
Yeah. But talking about the High Life collection, it's a collection that still evolves every now and then in terms of complications and everything. Any plans in the future that you can disclose for the High Life for the people that know the collection?
Yeah, sure. The problem is the moment you start to ask questions, I'm very transparent and I'm dropping a lot of things. So I need to be always a bit careful. And I don't have my team around me who fingertips me like, don't say. So, no, I think the biggest thing that will come, but we really need time for it, that will be the monolithic in the High Life. And that will really be a very edgy design in terms of dial. It will also be a monolithic 2.0. And that's...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Super nice. Speaking of monolithic, for our listeners, can you explain the, in a simple way the whole sure. thing about the monolithic?
Your watch listeners, your podcast listeners are aware of the watch industry, so I don't need to tell them the difference between quartz and automatic, because that's where it normally starts.
They should know that by now, yeah.
Exactly. But it's still interesting. A quartz ticks. Every second, it ticks. An automatic watch, a regular automatic watch, so let's say 95% watches exported from Switzerland, are beating on 8 times a second. So we say it walks. For 200 years, an automatic watch is the beating heart, the central part of the movement that regulates and gives the time it beats. That is been dictated by a conventional assortment. And that's where the balance wheel is implemented, and it beats on 4 hertz, 8 tiny steps per second. This has been challenged for 200 years, but never really revolutionary changed until we came across to the university in Delft in Holland with an invention where they had a silicon oscillator that basically has a full vibration spiral integrated in one disc. So it's one disc. It's not separate parts that can do the same as those 26 components of the conventional assortment. But the difference is it's fully silicium. Mm-hmm. So it's non-sensitivity for gravity. It beats 10 times faster. So it goes 80 times per second. And it's the same like riding a bike. 4 hertz, a regular automatic. It gives you a precision. So let's say you're riding a bike with 10 kilometers per hour. It's difficult to go straight. The faster you go, the more streamlined you go by the bike. It goes very steady. That's the same for a watch. So the faster it turns, the mechanic, potentially the more accurate it will be. Now that has been launched back in 2022 or 21. I don't remember even. And that has been a big boom. I have to say, much bigger than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. And it has been a pushback because I made a junior mistake in that time to go with 3 limited editions and 1,800 units. And they were sold in 1 month. And then my production team had to produce them. So that was, of course, a big error on my side. But I could hide that behind the juniority in that time on my role. Yeah, so yeah. I learned the hard way.
A successful error, I guess, because you sold a lot of watches.
Still painful. Eh? I mean, I have to say, we're still catching up, my team. And the innovations we are driving with my team, with 25 watchmakers, a project like that is occupying 6 to 8 people nonstop. Mm. So it's super dangerous if you don't be very keen on how to process and organize this. So it has been a big mistake for me to go that quick. I have to admit, openly.
How, like, with such a groundbreaking thing as the monolithic movement, how does the thought process behind like coming up with something like that even work? Like, where did you start? What was the first steps towards creating that?
Well, that was with Nima, who was the founder of Flexus, who is specialized in flexible solutions for watch industry. He came from the medical industry, from the aerospace, and then went back to focus on the mechanical part from some watches. And he basically had done all the studies, and he came to us, because Dutch was easy for him to approach, and we are innovative. He knew that we would be interested in it. And all the studies showed that it was possible. So then it was up to us to give him a briefing, and my team, what we wanted. So we wanted 40 hertz,
like 10 times faster.
Mm.
It could even go faster or slower, but we want it 40 hertz. We want it small because we need to realize that also Flexus in the time has been involved with the Zenith Divi from LVMH. That was a bigger size. We wanted a small size that it fits exactly in the open heart that is typically DNA driven for our brand. What else? It needed to be prepared for industrialization so that we could keep the cost relatively accessible. That was the brief. And that's where they started to work on. And that is the result finally. Now, the price will, in the next edition, have to go up because the development costs have been much more expensive than I was estimating
and you said,
due to the delay.
Sorry to interrupt. You said you wanted it at 40 hertz.
Hertz, yeah.
And not faster, not slower. You could potentially go faster as well.
Yeah, you can go faster.
Because you could say it was 10 times faster than a normal movement or what, thing?
Yeah, we had like a well, initially, the marketing approach was indeed, it should go so fast that you cannot see it with your eye.
Yeah.
Because your eye, an average person, can measure 25-30 hertz.
Okay.
And a hummingbee, colibri in Dutch, it's the bird where
in Swedish as well.
It goes, it goes 40 hertz. So my marketing impression was also, hey, we have then also already a future name for the watch. So that has been the inspiration.
Okay,
but it can go slower and can go faster. For Flexus, it was also the perfect dynamic, 40 or more, to get it running in a strong stability and accuracy.
Okay. The focus on the watches, the collections, it feels for us, it's clearly focus on the mechanical movements from your end.
Yeah.
But you also have quartz watches as well. Yeah.
Still like 45% of the business is quartz.
Yeah.
What is important for us, because again, that's also some, in a way, by the way, we're working also to innovate this. That's also interesting. But it's very important. And some people, they it's interesting because I read always a lot of comments on YouTube. Mm. That's my number one reference number to see how they perceive the brand and where we can move and where we have to do different things. And there you can see that very often comments about why are you doing quartz?
Mm. Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. But yeah, we are a brand where we operate from 750 to 4,000 euro. That's the core. And I would be stupid to stop the core to go into something that I cannot fund. On top of that, if you look at Patek, they have been for years and years and years driving 60% of their business on quartz business.
Yeah, in the latest watches.
Yeah, so who are we?
Yeah.
Or by changing that.
Yeah.
I mean, Patek is the best example. So quartz is very basic, very important. We also need to realize that the past 5 years, it's only making a very rapid revolution in terms of knowledge by people to have a mechanical watch.
Yeah.
5-10 years ago, you could ask 10 people on the street.
Would you say that's movement. Related to social media, for example?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure. People start to be more... more aware also. I think they're more interested, and indeed by social media they get so easy access to knowledge. I mean, I don't buy anything expensive without checking YouTube personally.
Yeah,
so it's a super interesting tool.
It's interesting that you also said that you actually go on to YouTube to see what people write about your watches.
Sure.
To take part of the feedback basically from the consumers or the enthusiasts in the industry, because it's not, I mean, a couple of brands are working quite closely with their community and listen to what their community wants and would like to see and makes those changes, which I believe that you guys also do. You're very open to your customers to hear their feedback on your products and to continue to develop the products further. Yeah.
For me, I think it's super important. I mean, I have always a few indicators for me. Listen, I'm the CEO, but it doesn't mean I'm on top of it in the Swiss hierarchy. I'm Dutch, so we are in between the people, and for me it's very important. So I have a few indicators for me. My people are very important. That's one. My customer is very important. If I stop listening to my people and my customer, I can better stop working because you're done. And then the last part is my product. So people, customer, product. That's the three KPIs for me that I need to keep very close contact to. If the product is not on the detail finished and nice looking, you're not selling it. It's that simple. And if you don't listen to your customer what they need, you make the wrong product. And if you don't meet the customer of, let's say, the people internal expectations to engage with them, you never make the proper product on the right time rolling out your factory. So all those elements need to be super aligned.
Yeah.
And YouTube is for me such an exposed platform where we can also now have easy access to a consumer.
Mm.
What is super convenient.
Mm. What's next? We know that Watches and Wonders is close.
Very close.
Very close. Very, very close now. Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
Yeah. My team is running now to set up.
Yeah.
and I'm in Stockholm. That's good.
Very welcome.
What can you give us something about what's next now? It's not too far away, so maybe
I can give you some sneaks. Yeah, sure. Sneak peek from Watches and Wonders. So we have been pushing. So 5-6 years ago, it was the High Life. High Life needed 3 years to get it in the stores, to get it at the consumer, and we're still not there. A cycle of that takes 10 years. Then, in the same time, I told my team, after 3 years of High Life push, we engage with a wider audience. I want you to redesign the Manufacture collection, the classic Manufacture collection. It's 42 millimeter. It's a bit outdated. It's very classic. Mm. We need to bring it back in a smaller diameter. I want to have the case a bit more redesigned. And I would like to have a new dial direction.
Mm.
So that was in that time the briefing that came out last year. During Watches and Wonders, where the first time we also contributed to Watches and Wonders with the Tourbillon in a 39mm case. There's only one other brand who's doing a 39mm Tourbillon, by the way, interesting enough. Mm-hmm. That's why we wanted the 39. That has been launched with high-end pieces. This year in Watches and Wonders Geneva, I'm saying Basel because I'm still 25.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be back to entry price manufacture. So you will see around a 3,000 euro new manufacture upgrade caliber. So an existing caliber with an upgrade of power reserve. Very beautiful. Mm. In line with the design direction that we have. Mm. With even a small touch in the design to recognize the upgrade of power reserve. And we will have two new movements. A moon face and a simple clean three hands version.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. That's the big bang that we will have at Watches and Wonders.
Speaking of, you just mentioned sizes. Feels like more or less every brand is downsizing their products nowadays. Is that something you've had very many requests from your customers to do that as well? Because I believe you've been around 40 millimeters in general for the men's size collection. Is that moving forward? Because that's last 15 years, around 40 has been the trend for men's watches, but now it feels like really so many people are asking about the smaller sizes. We see some brands completely removing men's and ladies and just doing one unisex.
Yeah, true.
So it's interesting that I think it's interesting seeing and wearing myself as well. I see you looking at it now. I think it's an interesting move and a change in the industry as a whole.
We are, and that's very. That I had a few discussions with my team, and Dan sits here, so I can point out to him. Some say, Niels, we do now for 5-6 years the High Life, and I think integrated bracelet design is declining again, but. That's something that we should be aware of. We, all of us here, are early adapters. We are in a very early stage involved in the trend and to set the trend even, or to follow the trend. And that trend needs at least 3 to 4 years to go to the mass. We are not Patek, we are not Vacheron, we are not Rolex. We don't need to jump on the trend right away. I would love to, with a few high-end pieces, and we do, we try, but the big volume hits later. So when I need to go smaller size, I always need to take into account that my 41, 42 is still selling like crazy.
Yeah.
So I need to really balance it and find a rhythm when you introduce a smaller size.
Mm.
So that was also time with the manufacturer now, where we have been to 39. But also we are introducing now, that's what we see, we need it, an unisex design 37. Super nice, by the way, it'll come next year. Very nice design. And that's where we now, it's now time for us to tap into the smaller size. And that's what you will see in the whole manufacturer line, where we're slowly going smaller. But I don't dare to go like 36, because that's really, I mean, that's very vintage.
Yeah.
But I don't dare to go there with a mass product. I still need to sell, for instance, automatics in the US. So it's a balance to find.
And you don't want to have maybe 10 different sizes either.
No, because that brings a headache with my COO. Yeah. He's going to jump out of the window.
And also for the consumer. I mean, to be able to have like too six sizes, too many choices, then you end up without a watch because you couldn't decide, basically.
That's exactly, yeah. Too much choice is killing the buying process.
Yeah.
We actually have a couple of very nice pieces on the table.
Yeah.
Could you just quickly like go through them and tell us like, yeah, and the
for
key
our
points.
Listeners there will be pictures, so you know when you're listening to this you can see the pictures on our site as well.
It's a nice mix, so I think here it explains in six pieces the whole collection that we have. That's how simplified we have tried to make it. This is the High Life, that's the latest full new collection. Today's 35% of our business, where it's fully integrated bracelet, where we have 41 millimeter 39 on the table here, and we have 34 for ladies or gents. In Asia it's unisex. And this year we're going to launch a 31 even,
okay,
at Geneva Watch Days.
Okay.
This is a sport chic kind of design, integrated bracelet but also interchangeable. With a few seconds, you interchange and you change from a bracelet to a strap. Every watch comes with an extra strap, so you really have a different look and feel. Customer here is younger, more dynamic, more modern, and really choose a more sport chic environment or status.
And they're essentially buying also three watches in one because of the interchangeability with the straps.
Yeah, exactly. And the watch is 10 ATM. Double reflecting coating on both sides of the crystal, sapphire crystal with the blue layer. It really elevates the details of the dial. So we really put a lot of efforts in luxury there. And it's a COSC certified movement. So it has all the elements, but it's still relatively accessible.
Yeah.
Around €2,000. Then I'm jumping to here. And this is, by the way, also one of the best sellers we have. This is the classic 40mm case, slimline. Well, we call this slimline. No, this is the classic, sorry. And this is the 335. This is a Sellita movement, base SW200, modified in-house. This has been done already, I think, 15 to 20 years ago.
Mm.
So this was the idea. We worked with Sellita. We were one of the first brands with the violence of ETA in that time to start working with Sellita, with Miguel Garcia, who is now having a massive factory in La Chaux-de-Fonds. And we are a loyal customer and we are a happy customer with that. But what we did with him, we said, Miguel, we would like to do a moon face with an open heart. That's typically our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I need from you the SW200, but I want you to drill already holes in the movement for us when you deliver us the movement, so that we don't have to disassemble the movement itself anymore. We just put on top of it our moon face and the open heart. And that's what we do in-house. That we do that averagely per year, 4,000 units of this watch. By far the most iconic classic watch that we have.
It has some really nice design cues for those who know a bit about one of the oldest brands, Breguet.
Yeah, it has Breguet. Yeah, the Breguet hands. It is the Roman index, and it became in that time it was really inspired. And that's what we also need to realize. That 35 years ago, the inspiration was Breguet, Blancpain, and Patek. Yeah. And that has been now much more his own face here. Very accessible in price, €1,500. Then we have also for ladies, and that's really where you can see the small downsizing size. This is in Japan, in Asia, sold to men also. So you can see it doesn't matter anymore what size. Mm. We see clearly that women are wearing bigger watches, men starting to wear smaller watches. And this is by far a bestseller. This is like thousands of pieces that we sell, Japan, US, Europe. This is 60% of our business, the classics. Mm. 35, 60. Then we go to the manufacture. Mm. Only 5%.
Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
So 5% in volume, 25% in value. So it's a big impact.
Yeah.
And here, this is, by the way, my favorite piece, the World Timer. We have two pieces here. Here you can see the nice difference between the old case, 42 millimeter, and the new manufacture classic case. You see, it's much more refined,
slimmer
lugs, it's more sophisticated in finishing. The lugs are more closer together. Mm. Although this is still by far the most iconic, best-selling world timer for us. It's 12 years in the collection. We sell 3,000 to 3,500 pieces a year. So that's a very important line for us. It's industrialized, no hiccup, no issues, no errors, nothing. So this is for us a storytelling collection. This is where the innovation drive takes place. This is where the innovation and motivation takes place with my ateliers. This is where we built the story in the past 20 years with the brand. And that's where we continue to differentiate also. And here next to it, you see the latest edition. What is the Power Reserve, Moonphase, Big Date. So three complications in one movement. I really wanted a Big Date. I find a classical brand like us needs a Big Date. Mm. And the team came with a design and I love it. And it's been very successful also since the launch.
And that one you launched last year.
And this we launched during Geneva Watch Days. With a big party,
With a big party, we remember.
it was a wild
big
party.
Big fireworks as well.
We like to party.
Yeah,
some us too.
So it's a perfect
match. Right?
Yes,
exactly.
Thank you very much for
pleasure having you here.
Podcast.
No, it was great. I love it. Time flies, I have to say. I didn't even realize that it was so quick already.
Yeah. And in 45 minutes, we're going to have an event here in Stockholm with Fredrik Constant.
I love it. We're going to have some nice drinks. I hope we have some
for
cocktails.
Sure. Yeah, we'll have some really lovely drinks here at Cocktail Social in Stockholm.
Is this a famous place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's famous.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm staying in the hotel next to it. It's
perfect.
Lovely.
Then
it's
you
beautiful.
Can be here all night.
Yeah, the problem is that I need to fly tomorrow at 9 o'clock again back to Geneva because I need to run the factory for the closing of the year. We close April, March.
Yeah. You have to
and
watch
some wonders is around the corner, so my team is nervous.
A lot on your plate right now.
Yeah. Sure. My team's plate, but it feels always bad if you're not there to when the stress and the pressure is so high.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm happy to go back also. Yeah. But I was happy to be here. This is great
super
to be here.
Super glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And we'll probably see you in 2 weeks again then in Geneva.
Sure.
Thank you, Nils.
Thank you very much.
Tack alla som lyssnar.
Glöm inte att läsa eventartikeln på ecotime.com och följ oss på sociala medier. Så får ni se.
Lite goa klockor.
Ja. Så hörs vi snart. Tack så jättemycket för att ni lyssnar.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.